Yes. And so I've had the radio show for give or take-ish 15 years, I suppose, somewhere in that range. And it started out just as a consumer alert. I just was really brokenhearted. I was getting so frustrated with bad things happening to good people. People, the biggest thing about our market, our industry, folks, is it's true capitalism, right? So you got to use your brain. And you don't suck into hype and you don't buy stories. You buy investments or metals or money. You're investing. You're putting your money into money. You're putting your wealth that you've created or earned through one measure or another into solid assets. And people try to measure everything by how much it went up in the last 1 year, 3 year, 5 year range. You know, Kiplinger's, when I was coming out of college and spent all these years in banking, man, I had every financial magazine. I could tell you what every great stock was. I could tell you about all the mutual funds, and I was an expert. And everything was about their return. But you know what happened over time? Kiplinger's, I don't know if they're even still around, two times you'd have gone bankrupt if you'd have taken their, like, golden investment advice, you know, their golden stocks. They had this thing, you know, where they'd be like, this is a golden keeper. I don't remember the name of it. There was a name for it. It wasn't what I'm calling it, but it was something like that. And it was like, look, you take this, you win. You win. This is the best stock ever. A guy went back through all of them, not to, you know, whatever, diss on them, but basically just to check. And from like 1980, whatever, when I started looking at them, 84-ish, and all the way through the 90s, late 90s, you'd have gone bankrupt twice if you took their advice. Bankrupt, gone under, lost your money. It's important to understand when you're looking at the Dow and it's racing up and it's so big and, oh man, I'm missing out. And you're that guy. It's gotta buy it, the girl. It's gotta buy the run. Gotta buy the run. No. Don't do that. You don't buy hype. You don't buy emotion. You just be smart. You just lay low and do what's right. Park your money. Let it build. And that, my friends, is how God operates. Rome was not built in a day. I've talked numerous times about my personal insight that God helps those who help themselves. Basically, when you have a good intent and you begin to move on that intent and act, that's when God can get involved. That's when he can help you. If you kick back and you do nothing and you think you're cool and you're like, Lord, you know, come and do this for me. Like he's kind of a servant, you know. God, do this for me. Do that. I mean, think about it. Is God a maid? I don't believe that to be correct. You know, if you take a look at what the levels of for kingship in the history of the globe, think of like pharaohs. The most almighty, massive, controlling, you know, at one point, that around the time of Solomon, Solomon controlled, they say, almost 70-some percent of the earth's land, okay? Solomon had power. Of course, history books have washed it out probably because they hate Jews. This weekend, there was the anti-Semitic, you know, there was a radical jihadist that held up a synagogue in Texas because he wanted to get Lady, whatever, Al-Qaeda out of prison. And then these dipstick cops, folks, this stuff's gone so far. These dipstick cops come out and say, well, it wasn't exactly about Islam. It wasn't anti-Semitic. It had a lot more to do. Yeah. Releasing a full-throttle jihadist from prison. Oh, by the way, that guy come into the country illegally, And then down the and oh, by the way, he was a full throttle Islamic jihadist. He was claiming anti-Semitic stuff. He's going after one rabbi, kills him, then calls another rabbi. But it wasn't anti-Semitic, so don't let that get in your head. Why do we do this garbage? Folks, I was listening this morning. New York Times, the history of these morons. We have been, you know, the Biden issue and his incompetent staff. Folks, do you know that that is only a symptom of what we've allowed to happen? How did we allow it? Well, we allowed it because we let our metropolitan areas pack up with people that aren't U.S. citizens, that don't have a deep belief in us. Do you know the odds of somebody going through the 7-year citizenship challenge, if you'd call it that? That's the process to become a U.S. citizen. You have to live here 7 years. You got to take a ton of classes. You got to do this. You got to do that. Very in depth, very intense. Do you know the people? Do you know anybody who's done this? If you do, talk to them. They're not flaming left-wing anti-American people. They are grateful. But you know what? We're stripping that away now. You don't have to do that. You just break in. I mean, let's be honest. You just break right in. Who cares? You know, it's America. We owe them. We owe these people free everything. And then they stand there and they curse us and they bad trash us. I mean, yeah, you get the point. It bothers me. It crawls under my skin. I heard a guy's voice today I knew that called in to Sean Hannity, and it was not, you know, the most intelligent call, but he was like, "You're just preaching to the choir." That's what he called to say. And Sean was like, "Yeah, but you should see our statistics." He goes, "You know, there's this number of people and that number of people that come in from this source and that source. And there's always, you know, and there's people, I've had people, folks, that have come in. I won't disclose names or stuff, but people in really important positions at local universities and stuff that were heads of major departments. I had a gal who converted to conservatism. I had a gal who headed up a significant department at a local university. And she came in one time and waited and waited and waited for me. And, you know, I wasn't available. She didn't have an appointment, and that's life. And after a while, my daughter's like, "That gal's getting kind of ticked, you know?" So I went and met with her, went in the conference room. I thought I was going to get it. I didn't know why. I go in there, and she goes, "I just want you to know you," she says, "you pissed me off." And she starts to proceed to tell me how I made her angry. She was surfing the radio, and she listened, and it made her very angry. And she said, and then I began to research, because I was going to prove you wrong. And believe me, a college professor of her caliber would be quite capable. And she said, I kept listening to your show, and it kept making me madder, but I kept researching, and I got even madder at the media. She said, "I started to realize I have been lied to my whole life." She had committed her life to liberalism. And now she's finding out that it's all based on lies and deception. You know, and I think that's an appropriate segue, if you will, today. Because you know what today is? Today, my friends, is Martin Luther King Day. And I'll tell you, if you're anything like me, you're fed up with all the racial epitaphs and racial narratives. And it's just, you know, it's so bull, oni, crap, garbage, trash, filth, junk, lies, deception. They're winning with this junk. How long can we tolerate this? I saw an article this morning. We're going to talk about Martin Luther King here in a minute, because that man was nothing like you think, or maybe you know better, but like some have been taught. And I'll also tell you up front, straight and hard, racism is, it's BS, it's junk. And that strong language, that's not strong enough language. Racism is wrong. When you're dealing with a human being, you're dealing with a human being. God made them all, okay? They've got a skin color, whoopee ding. Interesting how God allowed that. DNA-wise, there's no other detection. There's no difference. They used to say, oh, blacks had an extra tendon in their thigh, in their back of their leg, and that's why they were so fast. And Jimmy the Greek got fired because he made some comment about some athlete that said, well, that's because they were bred to blah, 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 you know. And, I mean, it's just like they're animals or some kind of a livestock, you know. It's crap. I don't understand, okay, the plight of a black man or woman. I don't. Because I've never been in their shoes. But I respect it. What I don't like is when things become anti-white. It's like, we had a really rough road, so we're going to destroy you. We're going to tear you down. As you've allowed us to rise up and gain our rights and gain our freedom, we're going to use that freedom to destroy you. And the media feeds it. You should see the article I just was reading from the New York Times about the next election. Instead of saying, okay, we got a problem as lefties. You know, the truth is, folks, the Democrat Party stands for nothing right now. They stand against Trump. Oh, dirty, filthy, rotten, evil Trump. Everything's rotten, and he's just an evil man, and he does all these horrible things. And, you know, and then I'm talking to a good friend the other night, and he's saying, well, you know, a lot of people aren't going to vote for Trump because he's pro-vaccine. It's like, this is how we keep ending up in the same toilet, guys. And I've spoken to this listening audience for decades. I remember the Obama mess. People going, well, you know, I'm not going to vote for Romney because he's a Mormon. Like, who cares? Vote against evil, number one. Number two, is this country based on freedom of religion? Do you want to use that system to oppress others and destroy them? You don't believe in everything I believe in. I'm going to get out an anvil and hammer you over the head. Really? Is that America? You know what that is? That is a lack of ability to comfortably articulate your faith while sharing and expressing the love of Christ. When you share your faith with someone, first of all, you reach your hand out first. You know, and I'm talking in an analogous way, but I mean, you reach your hand out. You have an open hand of love and acceptance. That's what Jesus Christ told us. They'll know you are Christians by your love. Having a separatist factional mindset, you know, that's going to divide and dissect and punish and be vindictive. Isn't that what you hate about the other side, about the evil side? How can you ever go wrong sharing the love of Christ, being a good believer, being a good Christian? And people will say, well, you know, it's all phony if you don't feel it. Really? Why? Did Jesus say, well, you know what's most important, Bob? You got to feel it. I mean, if you ain't feeling it, just take my commandments, throw them out. Jesus said, you know, if you love Christ, you'll follow his commandments. You'll obey his commandments, period. Do you love Christ? Okay. If you don't, then you got a bigger problem. Deal with it. But the bottom line is the love of Jesus Christ that he showed, and you need to study it, not get it through some college professor. You got to read it properly. Get yourself a Bible, a good one, you know, and then use online resources, man. I always mention Blue Letter Bible. They're great. You can click on every word, look up the Greek, the Hebrew. It's beautiful. And you can, you know, you don't have to be an expert at it, but it'll tell you kind of what it means. You got to be smart because it'll say outline of biblical usage, which means that's what the translators have translated the word into. It doesn't mean they're always right. And then you study the Greek a little bit, and maybe in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, you just get a feel for it. You're going to see stuff that's like, that is way off base. And then you go back and read the scripture and go, wow, that's got a totally awesome meaning or a totally different meaning. But you need to wash yourself in the word. This, my friends, is how America's falling apart, is a lack of knowledge of the word of God. We've been shamed on it. You know, I grew up in a school system in Montana where you stood up every day and you said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, and you went to church and you learned the Apostles' Creed and you got confirmed. And even if it was a dead church, it's a lot better than no church. The Word of God might have been floating through you, and then God will call His chosen out of that. This atheistic mindset we live under now is insanity. This anti-God rhetoric is evil. I remember that, you know, in the 80s, you know, oh, they're Satanists. They're Satanists. And you get these crazy mothers. I had this friend whose dad was a dentist and his mom was a cuckoo bird. And she was all, you know, playing records backwards and saying, listen here. You can hear him say, oh, Satan, I love you, and all this garbage. It's like, yeah, right. You know how dumb that is? And then I suppose at some point, some of these rock bands probably put it in there. And then it was like, oh, you know, then the behavior that comes out of these people, destroying their kids' lives, destroying the neighbor kids' lives, you know, these are the people that created evil in the good side. That's not what we're about, folks. And don't be that nagging Nelly, busy Betty. Don't run around and tattle on your neighbors and trash talk them and judge them. I ran into a situation recently where I was talking to someone where this Christian gal that I know, it is just devastating these boys' lives that live across the street. She's over there all the time nagging, calling the police on little kids because, you know, and they have a fenced yard. It's a like a 3 foot or 4 foot high chain link. And they're out. It's not a nice part of town. They don't have money. And they're out at midnight or 1 in the morning on Saturday nights, and she's calling the police, and they have to waste their time coming over there. And she says they're doing drugs, and they're not. They're just playing. I mean, and the gal is a Christian gal. I'm sorry. I hate this. It's embarrassing. Stop it, people. Share, spread the love of Christ. Do you feel condemned? Because if you do, then you have a hard time spreading forgiveness and love and joy. Deal with it. Know that God loves you. I don't care what happened to you. I mean, I do, but you know what I mean. It doesn't matter. The old has passed away. The new has come. That's what Jesus does for us. And anyone who thinks they had it hard, I mean, they may have, but I'll line up with you. I'll talk, you know, I'll go story to story, blow to blow. But once Jesus comes and gets you, when he calls out your name, that's all in the past. You are now a child of the King. You are a child of grace and love and mercy. And once it's shown to you, you're a member of the greatest universal family in existence. Share it. And other people have exposure and opportunity to join that. Okay, so that is where I'm going to start. Leave off that. I'm going to see if I can get, I have an iPad here, and I'm going to try to get some notes that I have onto my laptop. So I'm going to go to this. Da-da-da-da. What is this called? We're going to talk about Martin Luther King. It is Martin Luther King Day, and it matters. He is good stuff. Let's see. I think I can get this. See if I can get it. Yay. Hopefully I do. If not, I've got it. But, oh, please be there, baby doll. Here we go. Bang, boom, ba-dum, ba-boom. I got my notes to cross over. I'm going to go over paragraphs of 7 of Martin Luther King's really good speeches. This man was a man of God. I don't know a lot about him. I believe his father was a pastor at Cetery. Is that a word? I don't think so. Et cetera. But he just knew truth, and he'd gotten brokenhearted. I can imagine watching white, some of the vile filth I've heard come out of white people's mouths, even in close company. It's one thing, if someone jokes, you know, but that doesn't make it okay. Trust me. There is a proverb about joking where a fool or a deceiver or whatever says something rude and then says, oh, I was just joking. But, you know, so that's not, there's no hiding behind that. Sometimes, I think, so if you go to like Proverbs, 26. I'm going to go Proverbs 26, I'm guessing, somewhere in there. I'll go check it out. Ah, here it is. Yay. Proverbs 26:19. So it starts in 26:18. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Do you think that's a good guy? Think of this. Okay, I'll finish and we'll go back. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, oh, was I not joking? Do not ever deceive someone or say something terribly rude and mean, hurtful, and say, well, I was just joking. Remember Proverbs 26:18-19. Who does God compare that to? The man who deceives, or I'm sorry, like a madman. You know what that is? Cuckoo, nuts, whack job, dangerous, violent. Who throws firebrands, arrows, and death? Now, I think I know what a firebrand is. I think it's a brand that's on fire. Like, whoa, that would be a problem. So let's do some word search. The madman. Laha. Oh, that's interesting. It's so close to laugh. Laha. It's like close to laugh. Madman. Nuts. Like goofy. So it says a madman is someone. Let's see. It's a primitive word and da 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 da. And it means to be rabid. And then it goes on. To a frenzy to exhaustion. You been around those people? A madman, a frenzy to exhaustion. You know, you get people that just will not leave you alone until you're burnt mentally. I've been exposed to those people where they just wear you down. Just me, right? So that's what the madman is. In the Bible, and to languish and whatever. So that's that. So we know that. A guy that just wears you down crazy. So let's keep going in this good old Bible thingy-majigger we got here. Like a madman who throws firebrands. I want to know, what's a firebrand? A zigot. Zika. Zika is a missile, flaming arrows and fetters. Burning fetters. What is that for? A fetter is like a metal clamp for your ankles or your wrists. I don't even want to know where this garbage comes from. Historical nightmares. You know, flashing with fire, burning, you know, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. Like I said, bad stuff. Okay, so anyway, here's how God compares it in his word. Now, you got to remember, Solomon wrote this, the wisest man ever. Scriptures that didn't make it into our Bible say that he had over 3,000 parables memorized. Now, when we go through Proverbs, we break it down by two or three sentences, okay? So when I was doing research on this, no, that's not what it meant. 3,000 parables memorized by Solomon were 3,000 equivalents of the chapter of Proverbs. We got 30. I was just reading this the other day. Think of this. This is a man who was given the wisdom of God, the greatest of great. God said, I will make you the wisest and richest man that ever lived. And the wisdom was what he gave him because he said, I don't want money. I want to help my people. I want wisdom to help my people. And God said, well, I'm going to give it all to you. Because here's the thing. God didn't say, but it's a given. You get true wisdom from God, you're going to get it all. So if you read the book of Proverbs and you immerse yourself in it and get to know it, you will see success in every area of your life, period. You can't help it. A friend of mine had this big ministry. I don't know if it still goes on, but it was massive down in Colorado Springs, called the Proverbs Businessman, and it grew from a handful of men to over 400, not all believers, but people who saw the growth. They were like, this is nuts. And so they started to join. Lots of Mormons, lots of everything, lots of differences, but it didn't matter. Because the Word of God is what? Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce, you know, through bones and marrow. It doesn't matter. It's like God's Word says, my Word will not come back to me void. The Word of God's true. I don't care what you believe. The Word of God is true. You can argue it all you want. That's just foolish. Don't do it. Absorb it. You know, and here's the other thing about crazy atheism. Why would you want to do that? If there's wisdom there, you read a bunch of the, you know, historical scholars from thousands of years ago, philosophers. It's pretty obvious these men were searching, 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 and they couldn't quite get there. But man, when God spoke, boom. It's perfect, it's deep, it's rich, it's holographic. It's so multidimensional, there is no possibility during our lifetime of exhausting the multiple meanings that come out of the Word of God. You can go back and back and back. There's a story, I don't remember who she was, but there's a story in a Jewish concentration camp where they took their Bible away, and a girl tore a page out of Isaiah, which is pretty heavy stuff, and she didn't even have the full page. And they fed spiritually this entire concentration camp, morning after morning, day after day, night after night, for a couple years with this one page of the Bible. And it just continued to feed them and empower them and enlighten them. Just one page. If you take the Bible, okay, the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New, is about Jesus Christ throughout. It's the history of Israel. It's the good, the bad, the ugly. I've heard people that get anti-Semitic. You know, those Jews are so dumb. They did that. Yeah, and you're a brilliant rocket scientist, really? I mean, all of us, it's just a manifestation of humanity. God's showing us our nature, our decisions, the consequences and results. And then he's coming in with mercy. God is a just God. He has no choice. Truth is truth. Righteousness is righteousness. Justice is justice. God adds his mercy through Jesus Christ to polish that over or wipe it away or whatever you want to call it. None. There is none righteous. No, not one. It says in Romans, nobody is without sin, so stop pointing your finger at other people. If you think you're better than the next guy, you're worse. Because he who is forgiven much will love much. If you don't love much, you're not forgiven much. And it's not because you're so perfect. It's because you're narcissistically arrogant. And you don't know your sin. You don't know the nature of your sin and your flesh or whatever. You might have had a mommy who really, really babied you and didn't make you take responsibility. I don't know what causes that. But do not think that you're superior because Jesus Christ chose you to be part of his fold. So anyway, in Proverbs 26, here we go. There's so much good stuff here. This is irrelevant, but it just popped up. I'm in Prov 26. This is interesting too with what I was just saying. Let's go 26:1. Like snow in the summer and rain during harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Honor is what I'm talking about. You want to be a child of the king, the almighty king, the master of the universe? Have some honor, have some grace, have some dignity. Walk with godly pride. And pour love out. If you were the child of the greatest king on earth, do you know what spreading grace feels like to those who aren't? Say you're the child of the greatest king at some point in history, and you're walking through and you've got your whatever going on parade thing, I don't know. But then when you reach out and you touch someone's life and hands, and there's some of the coolest stories, even David. I do not know this guy's name, but even David chased down a guy, found him, and brought him back, who was the child of Saul or the descendant of Saul, and brought him into the kingdom and let him imbibe in their entire existence of kingship. When the guy should have been killed, the bloodline should have been wiped out, which is representative of you and I and our sin. We deserve, we're not worthy of the grace of the Almighty. And the only way we can show that, I think, is by expressing, well, by following God's commandments. Jesus, you know, when he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. He's not just talking about the 10, you know, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't covet your neighbor's wife and all that. He's talking about all his commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anyway, I won't get into that right now. But the thing is that's where we express it. That's how we show God our appreciation. So like snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, Prov 26:1, so honor is not fitting for a fool. You ever watch these big mouth idiots? Obnoxious morons that just blurt stupidity out of their mouth. Reality TV is probably full of it. I've seen a few. I don't watch that trash, but I've seen enough of it to know that guys are blah, blah, blah. And I run into people like this now and then, and I just think, what in the world causes you to do this? I disagree. I think this. And I. Why? Why you? Who cares? I hope that I use God's word as a springboard and a backboard for my position on things. I want to, in my heart of hearts, my heart's desires, I want to filter all that I believe and all that I do through the word of God. I know people that are arrogant and stiff-necked, you know, and wrong. Folks, there's so many things you can do to show the love of Christ. First of all, tell him you love him. And then do acts of grace. Let people off. Show mercy. Give them a break. You don't buy into the, because it's legal, it's right. Not. Don't go down that road. I'm not going to waste time on that. Because it's legal does not make it right. Lawmen live by that mantra. And it tears them up because they become separated from society because people know good from evil. Talking to a friend the other night, he's saying just because it's legal doesn't make it lawful. But if you think about it, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish the law but fulfill it. So his law is fulfilled by us. But his law is about the heart. Man's law is a cluster. We get laws based on what? Madness. You know, we get laws on top of laws on top of laws. Well, you know, a little girl was playing in the basement and her brother, you know, took a gun from the neighbor's house because the door was unlocked and shot his sister and all. We need a new law. We need a law that says if you have guns in your house and your door's unlocked, you do 15 years. You know, it's like, come on, man. That actually happened in Indiana. They wanted to put in this long law on the parents. How about if you break into a house, it's illegal? What about that one? We didn't enforce that. So We can't go down that road, but here we are. Snow in the summer, rain in the harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Don't be a fool. Let honor fit you like a beautiful suit. Here's another one. Let's just do this. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying. So a curse without a cause does not alight. You ever seen sparrows just... their feathers are just going, their wings are going, and they're like... you know, there's no purpose to it. They're just using up energy. This is interesting, though. So a curse without a cause does not alight. I want to say something about this. If you study cursing... which is bad language. You never use the Lord's name in vain, ever, period, end of report, period, done. Ever, period. Never GD or none of that. He's the Lord God Almighty. Why we need to do that, I'll never know. It's hard. It's weird. He's saying a curse without cause. Does that mean there's a cause for a curse? This is interesting. Now you're going to be like, Kevin, you're nuts. They've done studies where people use certain bad words when they get injured. It reduces pain. There are certain curse words, I think, under certain circumstances. For example, you get into the U.S. military. I know guys, praise the Lord, that are just immensely high-ranked, okay? Believers or not, they use some curse words. Just part of the culture. You know, and granted, we walk with the Lord. We have to have a pure heart and a pure mouth, and what comes out defiles us and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about occasionally there's certain situations that men do that stuff, and there's a cause. You know, if someone dies next to you, yeah, and you toss out a couple words, that's life, okay? Just saying. And the most important thing is to never, 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 never use the Lord's name in vain, one of the Ten Commandments, right? A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools, Proverbs 26:3 says. How about that? A rod for the back of fools. The word of God is saying, spank them kids when they really lose their stuff. You gotta. There's all these psychological things, psychology, where they've shown that there's a nerve center in the rump that basically resets the body. I'm not saying whip them and beat them. Never, ever do it out of anger. But when it's just pure disrespect, sometimes you got to deal with that. Another one. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or else you will be like him. It says, or else you'll also be like him. The question is, do you want to be like him? I've run into people that don't care when they're angry. They don't care, believers, non-believers. And it says, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. That as his folly deserves. Answer him with wisdom. I mean, it's you know, there's a lot of stuff here, so I don't want to go crazy on that. I want to touch on MLK before we go, okay? I like this. This is just crazy stuff. It's like, so, you know, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. How about this one? I hope this doesn't fit any of my listeners. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's weary of bringing it to his mouth again. In other words, you're lazy, okay? But watch what comes next about these fine sluggards. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. This is the problem, the sluggard. The sluggard isn't just, I mean, whatever it is. You can work on that definition. There's different definitions. But why is it if people aren't working and producing, they develop arrogance, self-righteousness? When we're grinding it out, working it out, making a buck, wisdom comes. You look at, like, even ranch hands and whatnot. Some of the greatest wisdom in the world you can learn from a bunkhouse of ranch hands. I've seen them. I've been there. How about, whatever. Let's not do this. We're going to go. Let's go back to where I started. We'll move on. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. That's a nice combo. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "Was I not joking?" So you get the point, right? So, yeah, I could keep going. The Word of God's full of richness, okay? Let's just move on, see what kind of time we got left. Talk about Mr. Martin Luther. We got a little bit of time, and I think it's severely relevant, okay? That's just me. So I'm going to cover a couple of his better speeches. And I'm just going to cover some of the key phrases, key paragraphs that I've found, okay? Here's one that says, quote, 1956, November 4th, King delivered a sermon to the congregation of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, in the form of a fictional letter from the Apostle Paul to American Christians of the 1950s. As the church's pastor, King used this unconventional format to draw attention to the widening gap between the country's moral and spiritual progress and its scientific and technological development. He also took on the potential dangers of capitalism and the destructive evil of segregation. King delivered this sermon again at a meeting of the blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Folks, two main things there. The dangers of capitalism and the destructive evil of segregation. What are the dangers of capitalism? Greed. Corporate monopolism. Okay? It exists. Too much power concentrated. And then the destructive evil of segregation is a no-brainer. What's happening now is blacks in general are demanding segregation. Black Lives Matter. We're different. They're not acting like they're superior. They're trying to key off on extreme victimization. Why would you want to be in that position? Folks, I'm going to tell you something, man. Winners win. Success breeds success. Are there black people who don't subscribe to the victim, don't blame the white man for every bad thing that's ever happened, and just go out and make their lives? Yes. It is possible. I'm not black. I don't have a right. I know, but I'll tell you what. God's God. He made you. He made me. Wisdom is wisdom. Truth is truth. We're each accountable to God. We're all going to have our day. If you trust God, yes, you're going to protect your friends and family and yourself, and you should. But all things will truly be refined. All things will be weeded out. There's some, sayings out there with, like, the Marines says, we kill them and God sorts them out. You're like, oh, that's so violent. Well, yeah, that's what we do. Life, okay? Death is part of life. So here's his quotes from this speech. First, I am afraid that many among you are more concerned about making a living than making a life. You are prone to judge the success of your profession by the index of your salary and the size of the wheelbase on your automobile rather than the quality of your service to humanity. The misuse of capitalism can also lead to tragic exploitation, and I could not agree more. Who rules this earth? Who rules America? Corporate America. Who rules our filthy politicians? Corporate America. Folks, if you don't think the Bidens and the Clintons are sold out, you're so out of it. I know it's political, and you're like, oh, Kevin, you're so against them. But, you know, there's crooked people on the right, too. Yeah, you bet there are. But not these ever-leading dynasties that should never be in place. I mean, there's crazy stuff, too. I want to step into this a little bit. There's people with crazy conspiratorial theories about, you know, Hillary Clinton is involved in killing children and drinking their blood and all. You know, you know what? I'm not even going down that. Why do we do that? Do you know what that makes us look like? Or does it just make us feel good so we can sit back and do nothing and talk about their Satanism, you know? I don't... She's probably a person. That was really a weird statement. Okay, she is a person who's probably very lost and confused. Whatever. I'm not going down that. That stuff's crazy. I don't bring that stuff into my show. Do you know how foolish that is? You got evidence? Bring it. You don't? Zip it. And go back. Vote. Vote, vote. Votey, vote. Vote. There are candidates. You don't like them? Bring your own. You don't bring your own? Vote for or against. Folks, the 2022 midterm election is critical. It's an election where we can mop up and clean and button the hatches on Congress. But we've got 10 months. We've actually got a year. Because there's a phrase for those of you who don't understand it called a lame duck candidate. If someone's sitting in an office and they get voted out, one flaw, I guess I'd call it, in our system is that they have a couple of months to sit there after they've been voted out. It's kind of like an employee. You know, we just had a guy who was, I mean, just... not all there at all. And he was like, do you want me to give notice? You know, because it was obvious he just was not competent. We're like, no, that's not safe for the employer. Well, the employer happens to be you. Don't forget that. The U.S. government is you. It's not, it is, but it shouldn't be. A bunch of bureaucrats on Capitol Hill. So we got a year of this to watch out. And they want to do nasty stuff. We got to get rid of the filibuster. We got to destroy everything Trump ever did. What is wrong with these people? You know this. And then the New York Times, these crazy right-wing radicals are going to bring Trump back and... they want to destroy the world and start... and now, here's the new word I'm seeing all the time. Hitler. It's like Hitler. They called Governor Gary DeSantis. This is the New York slime. That, by the way, for you who aren't smart enough to figure it out, New York Times... they've been around forever. The paper of record. Lie. Filth. Vile. They have the concentration of the city of New York. For them to go under is hard because they have like 26 million people on a teeny weensy bitty little bitty island. Craziness. Okay. People buy that paper. It is filthy trash. Just saying. Okay, so let's keep moving on. I'm going all over. I'm bouncing around like a ping pong ball. Here we go. Let's just do it. I'm afraid that many among you so are more concerned about making a living than making a life. Is that a good statement? Think about it. You're prone to judge the success of your profession by the index of your salary and the size of the wheelbase on your automobile rather than the quality of your service to humanity. This is, he is dealing with bureaucrats. Making money and having a nice car, I'm speaking from personal experience, I'm defensive. No, I love cars. That doesn't change your heart, but he's saying you're prone to judge the success of your profession. Okay, great. Fair enough. But then he says, rather than the quality of your service to humanity, I was talking about that earlier, your love of your brother. Folks, reach out. I don't care the color of a man's skin. Okay, there are cultures. I grew up in Montana, Great Falls, 5 major Indian reservations within a 100-mile radius. My junior high was 50% Native American because they had to stay in school until they were 16 or they got, or the truancy laws put them in juvenile jail. So I got my butt beat every which way but loose, but, you know, I've been beat by Native Americans good and well. There were months I had to walk home on the railroad tracks in the middle of winter. This is true. Frostbite fingers, terrible pain because I didn't have the money to pay their BS little toll to get on the bus. They'd stand there in a line. For some reason, the school would allow it. God forbid you tell your parents because they wouldn't do anything about it. Would they? They'd go in and talk to the school. The school would talk to some, you know, Ben Henneke, the head Indian, and then you'd get another black eye and a fat lip and be on the ground knocked out and then have to lie to your mom again about what happened that caused it, you know? That's just the world it was. And I know that that same thing exists in other worlds. But here's the thing. That was my junior high. There was 2 main junior highs. I'm in Great Falls, Montana, and then a fractal of others, you know, that went to our high school. By the time I graduated from C.M. Russell High School in Great Falls, Montana, which was a 3-year high school, sophomore, junior, senior, we had over 2,000 students. My graduating class was over 500. 1 male Indian, native, you know, feather Indian. It's like my nephew says, spots or dots, if you say Indian. I'm talking spots or dots. Spots or feathers. I'm talking feathers, Native Americans. There was 1 that walked the stage male, 1 female. I followed up with my dad later, who was a bail bondsman, who loved people. Loved people. Took good care. And there was this guy, I won't say his name, but of course he's named after a trapper from 200 years ago, last name Albert. But I followed, and he eventually fell. It's a very difficult culture. He was actually killed by an uncle because he was going to college, and the uncle said, "You think you're better than us?" And he killed him. That's a heavy, heavy culture. We need to provide quality of service to humanity. As he says, the misuse of capitalism can lead to tragic exploitation. If you love Jesus Christ, no matter how high you rise, no matter where you live, you always have a door in your heart that is open, and you will never become self-righteous and entitled.
Time's flying. Okay, here's the thing. I don't have much time. Wokeism. I was reading about wokeism today. This is the thing teachers are freaking out about. These kids have this new sense of wokeism. Wokeism, I'm better than you. Folks, there's a difference between being entitled and entitlement. You may feel entitled to whatever, but we are entitled to the rights given us in the Bill of Rights. Okay? But you have no right to entitlement. Free money. Freedom, yes. Free cash, no. If you're sucking off the teat of the government, stop lying to yourself. If you're truly handicapped, think this. Could I prove without a reasonable doubt that I'm handicapped to a jury and be honest? If you're sucking off the teat, stop it. Get out there and work. You're better off making 2/3 the income and having personal pride than sucking off the teat of Uncle Sam. How about I have a dream? We got no time. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are, this is MLK, stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating, quote, for whites only, unquote. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no. We are not satisfied. We will not be satisfied until the justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. He's right. Praise God. We're getting this now in every arena. Call us. Let us help you with your finances. God bless. Bye-bye.